May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week, we heard the gospel story of Jesus taking little ones, children, upon his knee and reminding those around him and us that whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Well, just a bit later in Mark, we hear again of children being welcomed by Jesus, children brought to Jesus by their parents seeking his blessing upon them. But the disciples sternly turn the parents of these children away. And Jesus, we are told, was indignant. He rebukes the disciples and welcomes the children and puts his hands upon them and blesses them. Well, in today's gospel, we hear of another act by the disciples, which is rebuked by Jesus. And it's more than stern. Actually, his response is pretty tough, pretty harsh. Lots of stuff about putting millstones around one's neck and cutting off parts of one's body. The disciples have caught out an exorcist who is casting out demons in Jesus' name. And they are quick to jump all over this individual. They can't wait to tell Jesus what they've done. They're kind of like the kid in the class, right? Who always has his hand up or her hand up trying to go, ooh, 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 I know, I know. Can you hear the disciples? Jesus, Jesus, we saw someone casting out demons in your name and we tried to stop him because he's not following us. Notice they didn't say, he does not follow you. Rather, he does not follow us. Ooh, not one of us. Well, the disciples think they're pretty special. After all, they form the inner circle of Jesus' followers, these fishermen, tax collectors, laborers, and such. Probably low on the social totem pole in their previous lives before they met Jesus. And now they are part of Jesus' inner circle, this well-known teacher of ever-increasing fame. Pretty special. They felt privileged. Privileged that Jesus had personally called them to follow him. In fact, just a few verses before our reading today, they were arguing among themselves who should be considered the greatest among them. And with no instruction from Jesus, they undertake managing who can and cannot approach him and who can and cannot do good works in Jesus' name. Well, Jesus is quick to correct. Last week, he said, whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And today we hear a similar message, but much stronger. Don't stop him, the exorcist. If anyone is not against us, they are for us. Jesus is quick to correct and to draw the circle wide. If anyone is not against us, they are for us. Anyone. Now, I believe that disciples' intentions are basically good. They truly want to do what is good and right on behalf of Jesus. But they often make mistakes or don't quite get it, even though at this point they have spent almost 3 years with the master himself, basically getting a crash course in the kingdom of God. But now it's time for another lesson, a lesson in humility. It's okay to be excited about one's faith. It's more than okay. Newbies in any organization can be quite zealous. It's understandable that the disciples act out zealously in their newfound understanding of God's message that they've been gathering over the last few years. It's so radically different from the Jewish instruction and upbringing they've experienced. But when it turns into pride and a false sense of self-importance, Jesus called them out. Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that discipleship is a humble service, not a position of power and privilege. He doesn't praise them for what they have done, trying to stop this exorcist who, by the way, successfully exorcised that demon in Jesus' name. Instead, Jesus calls them stumbling blocks. What if instead the disciples had spoken to the man exorcising the demon and had said, "Wow, you're doing this in the name of Jesus. Would you like to meet him personally? Learn more about the way? Come with us." What if instead they had welcomed, invited a little one, a potential newbie to the faith, to continue to grow and mature in understanding Jesus' radical message of love and acceptance? Jesus' privilege or grace to them should have made them look at everyone else as next in line to receive it. They could have been a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. Let me tell you a story about an experience I had last week. I made a comment on Facebook to someone. It was a discussion around, of course, vaccinations. And this person had suggested that those who choose not to be vaccinated for COVID, perhaps they should have separate shopping times in order to keep the vaccinated and the unvaccinated people apart. Usually, when I engage on social media, I really try hard to use language that doesn't point fingers, that doesn't call people names, is accusatory or belittling. I ask for clarification. How did you arrive at that position? I really want to try and understand why you feel that way, to perhaps create an opportunity for dialogue. And I try to iterate that, hey, we all have something in common that binds us together, no matter what side we are on in the COVID vaccination discussion. We all want this to be over. I do try hard not to drive the wedge in deeper. So, what was my response to this comment about separate shopping times for non-individuals or non-vaccinated individuals? A very short little comment. I said, between 3 and 5 a.m. That's it. Short, flippant, and non-helpful comment. Slightly funny to me at that moment. And shortly after, I received a comment that said I was the worst kind of Christian, a hypocrite. And my comment only served to worsen the divisions. It went on, but that was the gist of it. A verbal slap in the face, a stinging rebuke. And the moment I read that, I was so ashamed and remorseful because this person was absolutely right. And after collecting myself, I responded by saying, "You are right to call me out. The comment was unkind, not helpful, very flippant. I will remove it," which I did. And I said, "I am sorry." Now keep this in mind. That was Friday. I had been ordained on Tuesday to the Sacred Order of Priests. 3 days after being priested, I became a stumbling block. This one time that I didn't take time to reflect and choose my words carefully, who knows what damage I did? And that's all it takes to turn someone away. I think there's a big millstone with my name on it. Those of us who studied the letter of James during Lent last year will remember his strong advisories. James never holds back. Chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And it's right that we are held to a higher standard. As representatives of Christ, whether ordained or lay, our responses and actions ought to be formed out of the framework of our faith, our foundation. And it applies especially when we have an opportunity to become peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. Doesn't mean we should not speak up when it's important to do so. It is how we speak up. And today, more than ever, we are called to speak up and reach out in the one language that almost anyone can understand. And that is the language of love. Putting down little stepping stones, building a bridge, closing the gap. That's kingdom work. I certainly didn't do that in my flippant little Facebook comment. Jesus asked the disciples to pay attention, not to the actions of that other guy, but rather to pay attention to their own behavior. Behavior that only served to widen the gulf rather than draw the circle wide. And I know it seems like a tall order these days. It's too easy to take sides. But we need to be salt, as Jesus said this morning. We need to be salt to enhance the conversation and sprinkle it with a little more love, invitation, and willingness to listen. And just as salt influences the flavor of a dish, we are called to be influencers. And find a way to be at peace with one another. Find common ground. A tall order, I know, in these extraordinary times of divisiveness and outright hate that is sometimes expressed. During Compline on Friday evening, a prayer that I have read and spoken so many times really leapt off the page for me. Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the silent hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this fleeting world may repose in thy eternal changelessness. Fleeting. What is happening now is indeed a fleeting moment in the expanse of time and history. It doesn't feel fleeting though, does it, while we're in it? And we are surely becoming wearied by all that is going on because of COVID, but it will be over one day. One day this will be a footnote in history. Meanwhile, kingdom work is more important now than ever. And to do that, we need to rest and be restored in the changelessness, the constancy of our God. That is our comfort. That is our strength, our hope. And yes, that is our joy. And if we can hold on to that, we can be the disciples Jesus calls us to be, not stumbling blocks, but stepping stones. Amen.